Now let the words of my mouth and meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. All may be seated, please. Okay, I'm just waiting for technology to catch up here. When it works. Okay. I'm going to start. There comes our star of the morning. God bless her. Okay. Thank you, oh great wise one. I don't know where we'd be without Deacon Reitz, really. We're so thankful for his ministry and his presence to us, and he's been my savior a number of times already. Okay, today is a very special day for me personally, as well as for the Chura Valley family. For I will have the privilege and honor of baptizing my first great-granddaughter. Unbelievable, yeah. Name will be Allison Jo Schiaravelli. This occasion offers an opportunity to briefly share with you the significance of holy baptism. This is going to be somewhat of a teaching homily this morning as opposed to an exposition on scriptures. So this morning we're going to be talking about baptism. So what's the big deal? It must be a big deal, for Allison Jo has new clothes, right? What lady doesn't have new clothes for a special occasion, right? A large contingent of family. Got three rows filled here. Some members of the family have traveled a fair distance to be here, for which we're thankful. Allison's home is decorated, right? Okay, for this afternoon, the family gathering and guest gathering this afternoon. Many families have accepted responsibility of preparing special foods to be served. Much fellowship will be enjoyed. I guess something is up, right? Apparently, something big is about to occur. So, is there something more happening than just water being poured over Allison's head, prayers to be said, and anointing to be done? You betcha there is. And to begin to understand why, it is necessary to take a look at a brief history of this sacrament. Aww. It would be unnatural to assume that the sacrament of baptism, as we come to know it, began with Jesus, or possibly with that of John the Baptist. But neither is the case. I have a question for you. How did John the Baptist know about baptism in the first place? Was he the one that created the sacrament of baptism? The answer is no. For centuries before John the Baptist, the ancient Hebrew people formulated a ritual of baptism for those converting to the Jewish faith, coming from the pagan side to the Jewish faith. And this ritual was called Tevila. It's a Jewish rite of purification, of immersion into water. Now, this was centuries before John the Baptist. A major difference of this rite compared to what we know as a Christian baptism is that tefillah could be repeated more than once. Baptism for Allison, as well as for the rest of us, is not to be repeated. The baptism we experience is indissoluble, not to be undone or repeated. Baptism is an indelible seal upon the soul of the baptized. You know, a statement we just read a few moments ago, opening up our service, is from the Epistle of Paul, written to the church at Ephesus. And it states that we have one faith, one Lord, one baptism. From John the Baptist, a ritual of baptism was already in place in the Jewish tradition when he began his ministry. However, the major emphasis of John the Baptist's ministry was not aimed at converting others to Jerusalem. His ministry was to the Jews. John's baptism was a baptism of forgiveness, a baptism of repentance of sins. Remember, John proclaimed to the Jewish people, "Repent, confess, change your ways, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Messiah is coming." In other words, cleanse yourselves for sin. Jesus is coming. Get ready. Prepare yourselves. That was the message of John. The baptism of Jesus, however, changed everything. When Jesus came to John to be baptized, John, who knew Jesus to be the Messiah, admitted that he, John, ought to be baptized by Jesus. And Jesus responded that it is fitting for John to baptize him at this moment in time. Now, some of you may be thinking, wait a minute. Jesus never sinned. Then why the baptism by John? That's a very good question you asked. Very good one. Jesus totally and completely identified himself with sinners. He ultimately bore our sins on the cross. And this first public act of Jesus' ministry was a necessary part of the salvation he secures for sinners, for you and for me. Being immersed in the water in the Jordan River symbolized Jesus' death. Rising up out of the water symbolized his resurrection. Jesus identified with those whose sin he would bear on the cross. Ah, but the baptism of Jesus proved not to be just any run-of-the-mill occasion. Coming up out of the water, the heavens opened. The Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove lighting upon his head. And a voice from heaven declared, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." The term Trinity does not appear anywhere in the Scriptures. You can look it up. It's not there. But at Jesus' baptism, all three persons of the Trinity, all three persons of the Godhead were present. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Wow. Amazing. Awesome. If all three persons of the Godhead appeared at the baptism of Jesus, then the sacrament of baptism must be a big deal. An event that ought to be given much credence and value, and tragically, this is not always the case. All three synoptic gospels share the account of the baptism of Jesus, validating that event. It did happen. And we can read about it. We can read about the baptism of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, and Luke's writings. And Jesus himself, for Jesus himself, baptism meant a great deal. For he stated in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 5, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, the repentance of sins, the confession of sins, the forgiveness of sins, unless one is born of water and born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." We are therefore baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So what does all this mean for us in the here and now? Well, baptism is a statement. It's a statement of faith that we are to turn away from sin, turn away from Satan, turn away from all that moves us from God, and turn to a commitment to follow Jesus and the apostles' teachings. Through baptism, we share in a new life of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul writes that through baptism, we become a new creation. The gospel declares that we are born from above, which enables us to have a relationship with God, who is our creator, redeemer, and sustainer of the church. We become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Therefore, baptism is the gateway to the Christian faith. And we receive a new name at baptism, Christian. I taught sixth grade for more years than I taught any other grade. And part of our studies was to study the Mideast, the birthplace of all of three religions. And we got to the Christian religion, and I would go up and down the row, and I would ask every person, every child in the room, I said, "What faith are you? Baptist, Methodist, Roman Catholic, on down the line." And I said to them, "Guess what? You're all wrong." Well, you could just see the eyes pop. I can just imagine them going home and telling their parents, "Father, Mr. Mollison said, we are wrong." Okay? No, I said, "Yeah, you're Christian first. You're Christian first, worshiping in the Baptist or the Methodist or the Roman Catholic tradition. But you're Christian first. We are Christians first by our baptism, worshiping in the Anglican tradition." So, there are some who argue that baptizing infants is not appropriate. It is their argument that infants are not able to believe, and therefore to the baby, meaningless. And their question is, why not wait until the child reaches the age of understanding and asks to be baptized? Well, if we were to follow this reasoning, then we would not inoculate or vaccinate the baby against diseases such as diphtheria until the child asked for it, which could prove to be quite tragic. God's love for Allison, who's now on leave. She's in the back there. Mommy's doing what mommies do best. God's love for Allison Joe, God's love for all of us, you and me, began at the moment of conception. Before Michael and Janelle, before my parents, before your parents ever knew about her and to love her, and or loved you and me. From the prophet Jeremiah, we read, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you." As we are wanted and loved by God from the very beginning, nothing shows the nature of God's grace more than infant baptism. So during her baptism, Allison Joe is going to be called by name, a sign of a personal family relationship with Jesus. And not only is she to be in fellowship with Christ, but Allison also is united to all of you, every single one of you, the her body of Christ, the church. For we ourselves stated that we will support her in her life and walk with the Lord. We will be doing that later. Everyone then is expected to participate in the life of not only Alice and Joe, but for all the baptized here. We are to be a family, supporting one another and encouraging one another in their life and walk with the Lord. In this slide, seeing our parents and sponsors, also known as godparents, standing around the font, which we will witness in a few moments. The history of godparents or sponsors dates well into the times of the early church, during those cruel and horrible days of Christian persecution. The term sponsor is derived from the root Greek word spondere, which means to promise. And during the horrible years of Christian persecution, Christian parents were fearful for their lives. To assure that their children would be taught in the word of the Lord and brought up in the Christian faith, parents would seek those who promised and assured the parents that if they were to perish, the children would be spiritually taken care of. Well, thanks be to God, we no longer fear persecution to the degree experienced by those of the early church, comma, yet. However, tragic instances of loss of parents do occur. Thus, sincere and loving sponsors or godparents are very important in the life of the baptized. It is expected that godparents will assume a profound interest and special interest in the life, in this instance, of Ellis and Joe. Let me ask a question here, just out of curiosity. How many of you are godparents? Okay. How many of you are godparents of confirmed children? Children already confirmed? You think your job's done? Let me ask you this question. Is parenting ever done? No. Neither is godparenting. And so it is expected that godparents will assume and not forget or not drop off, but will assume a profound interest and special interest in the life of the baptized. Godparents are to set an example of Christian life. Godparents are expected to assist in the teaching of the faith, which includes but is not limited to the prayers, the apostles and Nicene creeds, the Ten Commandments, and especially in keeping the promises made at baptism. All the baptized are expected to share in the mission of the body of Christ to which they belong. Let me state that again. All baptized are expected to share in the mission of the body of Christ to which they belong. Because at baptism, you become a member of the body. Just like you are a member of the family. And as you contribute to the family, so are you to contribute to the family of the Christ body. Being asked to sponsor, to be a godparent, is an honor to be sure, but not a position to lightly enter. Being a godparent is a serious commitment. Baptism, the first sacrament, leads to all other sacraments. It is the foundation, is the cornerstone upon which our faith matures, the foundation and cornerstone of all future participation in ministry. Baptism cleanses us from all sins, opens to us the fellowship with Christ, and makes us children of God, and most importantly, to share the eternal life with our Redeemer. Baptism is called the gateway to life through the Holy Spirit. Martin Luther wrote almost 500 years ago the following. To put it most simply, the power, the effect, benefit, fruit, and purpose of baptism is to save. No one is baptized in order to become a prince or princesses, but as the words say, to be saved. To be saved, we know, is nothing else than to be delivered from sin, death, and the devil, and to enter the kingdom of Christ and live with him forever. Is baptism a big deal? You betcha.